Welcome everyone to the call tonight. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We ask you now to open your Bible, take notes of the things to be said by our speaker. Our speaker is the person, Brother Jalen Downey. He is the minister of the Lamita Church of Christ in Lamita, Texas. And without any further ado, we're going to allow him to come on and make it plain about what God authorized. All right, Brother Downey, it's your turn.
When we think about, when we look in our society and in the American world that we live in, we often look at things as if we have the authority just because we have a right to do something. We often say that, well, I have a right to do this, such and such. It's my personal right, so therefore it must be authoritative. But on tonight, I want us to understand something that I'm going to focus on. That may be so within the world system, but when it comes to the spiritual and religious and Christian system, I want us to understand tonight that God, that Christ has all authority. That our opinions, our thoughts, our own mind does not matter. You remember the Bible will say that his ways are not our ways, nor his thoughts our thoughts. There's a reason for that. Because if we could think in the terms that he could, then therefore Jesus would not have had to die. Therefore, Jesus would not have had to become the solution to the problem that man could not get rid of. So once again, we're back at point A. We look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. We see here this is one of the sections of Scripture where the Great Commission is given. And verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, talking to his apostles, saying, all authority. He didn't say some. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So the first thing I want us to notice is that Jesus covers the spectrum. I want us to understand that man never had the authority to make up his own rule or to try to change what God has instituted. He said, all authority has been given to me. Well, we have to understand from that text, from that verse, we must understand that obviously that there's one who gave Jesus this authority. And it was not mankind who gave him this authority. It was God Almighty. But he covers the spectrum is what I want us to notice. He says, in heaven and on earth. So he says, I have authority, whether it be here or whether it be in heaven, I have all, anything that you can encompass, I have the authority. And therefore, we must, if he has the authority, folks, we must understand that we must abide by his teachings and by his laws. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3, if you will, turn there with me in your Bible if you're following along. Colossians chapter number 3 will add to this, starting in verse 16. And there is a, if you will, a prerequisite to understanding that God has the authority and to understanding what God actually authorizes. He says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So what I want us to notice here is that in verse 6, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you, not just somewhat, but richly. But how, Brother Downey? In all wisdom. Well, we know that wisdom comes from the Father above. We know that every good and perfect gift, according to James chapter 1 and verse number 17, comes from the Father above, who there is, you know, no variation in. So, in other words, what I'm trying to get us to understand here, that in order for us to truly understand that God has the authority, that Christ has the authority, and that what God has authorized, we must dig into his word to begin with. We must allow the word of God to dwell in us and saturate our hearts. Not just somewhat, but ritually. You understand that when somebody, we all had that when we were kids, we all had that dream, well, I want to grow up and I want to be rich. We all had that dream. Well, we think about that when it comes to money, but we need to think about that when it comes to our riches and spirituality. We need to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly so that we can understand what God has authorized. Well, preacher, what has God authorized? Well, I want to focus on two things tonight. As time will allow me, I want to focus on two things. And they're two very important things that people need to know, both as Christians and those who are not or have not been added to the body of Christ. The first thing I want us to understand in this is God has authorized or approved or put his stamp on one church. That there is one. If you look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4. I want us to understand this, that there's one church and one only that God or that Christ authorized, that Christ built. He said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4, there is one body. There's one body, not many. There's one body. And he's referring to this one body as the church, as Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18 will make very clear for us. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18 will make that clear. And we'll back up to verse 17. And he is before all things, talking about Jesus, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. So he says, he uses this language here, Paul does in Colossians, talking to the church of Colossae, he says, and Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He says the church, not the churches, not them plural, but the church. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, God is Christ is asking Peter this famous question, right? We've all heard it. We've all heard this preached on. When he's asking Peter, he said, "Man, who do the men say that I am?" And of course, he answers. Some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to Peter, "But who? Okay, forget about everybody else. Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers that great question with this. Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In verse 18, here's where the punchline, what I want us to understand, and he's saying upon this rock, upon your confession, Peter, he says this, and also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, or hell, some of your Bibles may say, shall not prevail against it. What I want us to understand here is, I want us to see the fact that, I want us to understand when it says my church, that personal pronoun shows ownership. He said, I'm going to build my church. He did not say that St. Peter or St. Paul or St. Jude or anybody else. He said, I am going to build my church. You see, it's amazing when we think about the church, when we look at this personal pronoun. When he says it, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, he did not say the gates of Hades will not prevail against them. That's like me saying, well, we understand that if you have that your house or your car, and you say that's my car, you didn't say that's, you know, mine and Brother Downey's and Brother Brooks' car. You said, that's my car. It shows ownership, and it's singular. It's mine. It belongs to me. But when it comes to the church, we all of a sudden become plural. Well, the Bible tells us that when we add to the word, we're not to add or subtract from the word of God. We're not to have the mindset that we can make what God ordained better. We're not to have that mindset. God has instituted or authorized that there be one body. That's what, not Brother Downey's words, but that's the saith the Lord. That's what the book, chapter, and verse says, that God has authorized this, not Brother Downey. That we must understand that there is one. That Christ died for. He purchased this body with his blood. This body is, if we look at the book of Ephesians chapter number 5. This body that we're talking about, this church that we're talking about, he describes it as a bride. He describes the church as a bride. And if we look at Ephesians chapter 5, and verse starting in verse number 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Now we look at the language here. I want us to notice that he says this, that he is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Not a church or not a body, but the is a definite article and not an indefinite article. You might hear people say oftentimes, I've ran into this, and I've heard people say, well, Mr. Downey or Brother Downey, we're all serving the same God. We're just taking different paths. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. He says there's one path. The Bible would tell us that there is a broad path with which many will go down that lead to destruction, but there's a narrow path, a straight and narrow path, and few there be that find it. There are few there be that find it. See, we can say, I'm going all these other roads. Well, that's the broad path. That's the choice that you choose. But I will say this, it's not God's doing. Jesus said there's one way, the narrow way. Jesus said the only way that you can get to the Father is through me. And if we're going to go through Jesus, then we must understand that there's one body, that Jesus only had one body. You see, it's kind of foreign to us I don't know if any of us have ever seen a one-headed person with two bodies and say that that's normal. But we know that this is not normal. which leads me to point number two, that if we're going to, if we understand that God has, that Jesus has all authority, and that Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse number 6, that there is one way in order to get to the Father, and the Father is in heaven, then if we're going to get there, that one way, he says, must be by water baptism into his body. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26. The Bible will say this, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And he will then continue to go, for as many of you as were baptized, I want you to circle that word there for me, is baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Well, in order for us to be in Christ, we must first be, and be in the body, it requires baptism. You hear many people say, well, baptism is not a necessity for salvation. Well, Jesus authorized baptism for salvation. He did not authorize sprinkling. He did not authorize waterboarding. He did not authorize saying the sinner's prayer, saying, God, come into my heart. He said, be baptized. If we look at Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, when Peter was preaching that beautiful gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, and the people that killed Christ, they came to him and said, men and brethren, when they heard him preaching, what shall we do? And Peter told them, he stood up and said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. They came to him. They were troubled. They had understood that they had committed this heinous crime and heinous sin, and he said, what must we do to be saved? You know, Peter didn't say that you should be sprinkled. Peter didn't say that we need to say the sinner's prayer and accept Christ into your heart and you're saved. Peter told him, turn. He said, repent. That's what God authorized. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You see, that there, church, that there is the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what we're imitating when we put on Christ, when we go down to that water river baptism. We are symbolizing, turn with me to Romans chapter 6 for a moment, but we are symbolizing that we have put off the old man and put on the new. That we bury dead things and not live things. And in Romans chapter 6, and verse number 1 and following, the Bible will say, what shall we say then? Paul is talking to these these Jewish Christians here. What shall we conclude here, brethren? What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. But certainly not. How shall we who died to sin, will brother live any longer in it? Brother Danny, how did we die to sin? He's going to answer that question. In verse number 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, verse number 4, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now, Jesus said, we go back in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Now, for us to understand, if Jesus is the authority, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that everything we do, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 17, must have his stamp of approval on it, then we have to seek his answers in order for us to be saved and not man. And he clearly says here that you were buried with Christ in baptism. So therefore, in verse 4, that you can rise just as Christ did, to walk in newness of life. You see, that's what it takes to be into the church. Christ authorized that to be able to get into his church. Baptism is required. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15 and verse number 16, he says to them, speaking to his disciples, he's another passage about the Great Commission. He says, go ye out into all the world. He's giving them that great command once again. He's giving them that glorious command that we all must respond to. And he says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes, and there's a conjunction there for a reason, church. It did not just say, as many people like to say, well, Jesus, the Bible says, if you believe. Well, there's a conjunction. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. You see, that's a sad state of affairs, church. Christ has done all he can to make us right with him. Christ has provided the way for us to be holy, for us to be sanctified, for us to be set apart, for us to be in his way. It's up to us. It's up to us to follow it. It's up to us to follow it. If we look at Acts chapter number 2, I want us to understand something really quick. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. We go back to verse 40 in Peter's preaching. He says, and in many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverted or perverse generation. Well, Brother Downey, how are they going to be saved from this perverse generation? Well, they can pray to God. No, that's not what it says, and accept them in the heart. He says in verse 41, then those who gladly received his word. Those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. You look at verse number 47, this is the third point I want us to understand, that Christ is the only one, or God is the only one, that can do the adding, that he has authorized that he does the adding, that one be baptized to get there, and not a vote be taken upon. How do I know this? Look at verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. They ate their food. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. It did not say that we took a vote. It did not say the elders decided. It did not say the preacher decided. It did not say that Brother Downey decided, but it did say that the Lord added. So in order for one to be added to the body of Christ, he must understand, he must hear the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We understand that we must have faith in order to be pleasing to God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, he says, for without faith it is impossible to please God, and one who wishes to come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Then we must believe, Romans chapter 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. Well, he also said, after you believe, then you must turn away. Luke chapter 3 and verse number 13 and verse number 3, and Luke chapter 13 and verse number 5, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Church, we got to turn from that old man. We got to make a 180 and not a 360. He also goes on to say this, that after we've made that decision to turn from that old lifestyle, that we must confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he lived, and that he died, and that he rose on the third day. Amen. And then the other step is that we must be buried in that watery grave of baptism. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, Mark chapter 16 and verse number 16, and several other passages that speak of this. But we must be baptized. God authorized full immersion. The word baptized comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse, to fully go under. It is not a sprinkling. If you remember in Acts chapter number 8 with Philip and the eunuch, when Philip talked to him, Jesus, the eunuch said, "Here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip told him, "If you believe, then you may." Now, I want to ask you a question before we land this plane. Jesus said, they said in the Bible to the eunuch and Philip that he preached unto him Jesus. If he preached unto him Jesus, what Jesus has authorized, and obviously that must mean that baptism was authorized by God. If the eunuch said, "Here's water, what hinders me from being baptized?" And the Bible says when he came up out of the water, he went on his way rejoicing. I'm here to tell you tonight that there's one church that you can be saved in, and there's one church that Christ died for. One that he authorized, and it holds his name. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 16. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. "For there is no other name under heaven given by where men must be saved." The name of Christ, by his authority, can men only be saved. You heard the gospel here on tonight. The choice is yours and whether you want to respond. I urge you, I plead with you, and I beg you, give your life to Christ through the watery grave of baptism. I know we're on the phone and we're through this call, but there are many brethren that are willing to help you in your area, that if you want to respond to the gospel on tonight, I'm sure to sure it doesn't matter what time of night it is, that somebody will be able to give to bury you in that watery grave of baptism so that you can come out a newborn babe in Christ and that he can add you to his body. The choice is yours on tonight. I pray, hope, and trust that you will accept, that you will heed the call, and that you will obey the gospel on tonight. Thank you very much.